third chapter of Daniel, verses 1 and 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another. What a privilege it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in such a country in which we live, where at this time we do not have to fear religious persecution in a very physical way. But here in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to see some Hebrew men, that their faith is going to be tested by fire. And I think we are familiar with the story, but really trying to pull out the applications of the story to us today, and certainly trying to see ourselves in this story. Because whether we like it or not, I think as we look around, things have changed a great deal in our country. And, your faith is going to be tested throughout your life. There is no doubt about that. It will be tested on some level, whether it's death, disease, disaster. Your faith's going to be challenged. Our faith, believing in the words of God and holding to those, despite what's happening in the world or in our personal life and personal circumstances, your faith will be tested. It will be tested in various ways. In Daniel chapter 3, we have these three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, that's their Babylonian names. Their faith will be tested. Them believing in God and holding true to those things is going to be tested. But really, when we think of their situation, Daniel's such a powerful book, but we have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have the people of God who basically been taken into captivity, and certainly there's many of those people that were believing in multiple gods before they even got taken into captivity. Because really, that's why a lot of that happened. And God had told them, if you're going to be unfaithful, if you are going to follow these other gods, there's going to be some discipline that takes place. And we see Assyria comes in, takes out the northern kingdom. We see Babylon comes in, kind of takes out that southern kingdom. And there are some individuals that are faithful to God. I think Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are perhaps examples of those. They were probably taken, although this is a little bit of speculation, perhaps they were taken around when they were in their teens. And they end up in Babylon. And you think about that, the land which they're living, now they are definitely in a land, although we can argue, looking at the documents we have from the north and the south, the northern and southern kingdoms, that really the people were not following God. But they get taken to another place, where now, not only are they at a place where a lot of times multiple gods are believed in, but of course Nebuchadnezzar is put up on a pedestal in many respects, in many regards. They're in a foreign place, a place that's really not their culture, not things that they're used to, probably from their youth. And they have acclimated themselves, but really, in many ways, we see that they're kind of living in a godless nation. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are in far worse situations than us. There's no doubt about that. But I think many of us, when we look at each other, although I don't like to draw people's opinions for them, I think we understand that perhaps the tide is changing in our country in a way that we would not want it to change. We look around and perhaps there's more gods being worshipped than maybe 50 years ago. There's more changes that we can see on the field of morality. And that's really the situation that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in a nation that does not acknowledge the God of the Bible. They're in a nation where there's a lot of foreign practices, and we see that they actually decide they're going to abstain from eating meat in chapter 1, probably because they don't want to break the dietary laws that are laid forth in Leviticus. You go to a foreign place, they're going to make all kinds of food, and they might put something in there that you as a Jew, underneath the Old Testament, would not be allowed to eat. They're very protective of their faith. They are very careful to make sure that they're doing those things that God is doing. But do we feel a shift in our country? You know, I mentioned some statistics this morning. I'll mention some statistics this evening. I read this the other day. 33% of people in the United States attend services once per week. 33% of people in the United States attend services once per week. I don't know about you, but I start reading that number, some things start to click in my head. Is Christianity really the majority belief in our country? And I think that when we look at denominations and we think of things, we are in a very good situation. And I think certainly there's hope for the country in which we live, but I think that we do have to look at each other once in a while and say, the tide has changed. And perhaps your faith might be tested sooner than you would care to admit. And I think that sometimes we have made mistakes in the Lord's church, not discussing topics that should have been discussed before they really came to a head. We think of certain sexual sins. We think of certain things that people are engaged in. They're accepted as common practice now, and perhaps we should have been more proactive. Well, what I'm trying to do this evening is try to spark your mind a little bit into a proactive situation. What if a situation like this happened to us? A situation where the government comes in and says that you need to do a certain activity that's against your faith, or basically to deny your faith. And we see that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to go through this. Of course, we remember that Daniel is going to have a situation that the people don't like that Daniel's a high official in the land. They say, we know how to get at Daniel. We'll make a law against prayer. Because we know what Daniel does. He's faithful to his God. We know he'll pray. And if we make this law, we know he'll get into trouble. There's many ideas in our country that have changed. Many ideas that are embraced that have not been embraced in times past. Certainly we see problems in relation to the rejection of God's morality and God's word. And as I look at that stat, 33% of individuals in the United States go to church services once a week. Perhaps the tide has changed more than we would care to admit. In Daniel's time, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's time, there is no speculation. They are living in a land where they are the minority. And they are trying to stay faithful, and their faith is going to be tested. And what I would suggest to you is, can we this evening try to put ourselves into these men's situations? Can we try this evening to try to put ourselves in their situation and understand that our faith might be challenged sooner than we would care to admit? It's something I think we have to prepare for and at least think on. What I'd like to do is look at these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and look at some attributes that they have that I think in their situation, and just see what we can pull out of the situation. So we see in Daniel chapter 3, of course, we have the build-up. In chapter 2, Daniel interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar about a statue. Perhaps that's what leads into chapter 3. But he interprets this dream about a statue, and actually you see that Daniel gets promoted. And I think that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of that. I think that they were actually rising in the Babylonian ranks as well. But we see that in chapter 3, starting in those first few verses, we see that there is a statue being constructed by Nebuchadnezzar. And we see the dimensions of it, and we see that it is time for the big show of the statue that has been made. And we see that everybody is invited. I find it interesting that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego show up. There's a very careful line that I think that we have to be watchful of, and perhaps we need to be more watchful of it than we have in times past, is a Christian's relationship to government. In Romans chapter 13, we see it well established that a Christian, a servant of God, should obey the laws of the land. But there is a point where a Christian has no obligation to their government when the government goes against the faith of a Christian. We have to be very careful. Should the government step in at some point and make and be so bold in such a step as that? That is what's happening here in Daniel chapter 3. A very bold step by the government to basically establish a God for really the people of the land, and really a forced obedience to that God. And although we realize that anything that is an idol that is something that shifts God to number two, and there is the God of self, which I think is very prevalent in our country today, the God of self. It is promoted very highly, and you hear it in people's language and the way that they talk, and it's almost that religion has almost been wiped away because you're okay, I'm okay. Really, just do what you feel is right. what you feel is right. That's really what we see. What do we see about the characteristics of these individuals? We have the statue laid forth there in chapter 3, and I want to kind of jump into the situation. Verses 8 through 12, we're going to see that these Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these Jews, we're going to see that they're different, and we are called to be different. It says, therefore, verse 8, at that time certain, Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your God or worship the gold image which you have set up. The first thing that I picked up from these individuals that we cannot lose as New Testament Christians is being different. Are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being different? Yes, they are. Everybody else is going to bow to this image. At least that's the appearance I get from the text, is everybody else is going to bow, and yet you can almost picture that scene. This big ceremony with the statue there, and we have these individuals that are not bowing down. Do you realize that you're different? Why are they different? Their relationship with God. You understand that our relationship with God makes us different from the world in certain respects. It should make us different from the world. We shouldn't be able to blend in. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not blending in when the government goes bad for all intents and purposes. The government's gone bad, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just blend in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just bow down. Isn't that what our society tries to tell us every day? Bow down to culture. Bow down to society. Bow down to what we say is right. And if not, the mob will come after you. It doesn't sound too much different than what happens in the book of Acts. Paul, Peter, the apostles, the disciples, stop preaching, stop saying what you're going to say. If you don't stop saying what you're saying about Christ resurrecting from the dead and trying to live a life for Him, if you don't stop saying those things, we're going to come after you with them all. Is that not what's going on? We're called to be different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were different. Of course, underneath the Old Testament, we understand their relationship to God being Jews. We think of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. It says, for you are my holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. You know what? We are special people as Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are the church. Added to the church through baptism for remission of sins. We're baptized and we're added to the Lord's body. We're added to the church, and we are His special people. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were God's special people in the Old Testament, we are God's special people today. We are Christians. And you know what? That is a call for us to be different from the world and not to follow the mob. Are you part of God's family? Are you a Christian? Do you understand that that's going to make you different from the world in so many respects? In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, it says, don't follow a mob or a group of people, basically, to do evil. But you know what? In the moment, it is very tempting to follow the mob. We can find example upon example upon example in history where people get swept away in such moments. We don't have to look too far. We don't have to look too far. Will you follow a mob to do evil? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went and followed the mob. You have this whole scene that's out there. You've got the statue, and you've got this whole people, and you've got these three guys that say, no, we're different. We're going to serve our God. We're going to be faithful. And you know that your faith could be tested in a way very like this. They say, in front of a statue? Maybe not in front of a statue, but maybe at work at a business meeting. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know where it's going to be, but your faith will be tested at some point in some way in some area of life. And as we see that perhaps our society, our culture is turning away from God, there are going to be more and more opportunities, whether we like it or not, to stick out like a sore thumb, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I think they needed to remember whose they were, and they were gods, and we underneath the New Testament need to remember whose we are. We are gods, we are servants of the Lord. We remember Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is trying to mold you. The world is trying to say, bow down! That's what the world, that's what King Nebuchadnezzar, what society was trying to tell these gentlemen. He said, bow down! And we might not be told that directly, but you know what? They've got a way of telling us those things, don't they? Well, we prefer you don't say that. You know what? If you say that again, we might do X, Y, Z. O-N-O-P. You know, you think about it. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to be different. Are we blending in? Are we blending in? As our culture turns away from God, you are going to have more and more opportunities like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand up for the Lord. Certainly, we should submit to the government as long as the government's not violating our faith. But we've got to watch that line very carefully because they are going to get up to that line and they're going to try to cross at some point. It is just the history of the world. If you look back to the beginning of time, what do we see? We see people follow God and they do good. And then what happens? They start turning away from God. That society crashes. It's the pattern of the world. So we think the United States is going to beat the pattern? I hope it does. I pray it does. But in reality, when we look at the patterns of the world, when people turn away from God, we see what happens to civilizations, what happens to countries, what happens to nations. These gentlemen are different, and it's evident. They stick out like a sore thumb. You stick out like a sore thumb, you're going to have more opportunities in the future than you've ever had. Maybe even opportunities you don't even want. You're going to have an opportunity to be the light. You know why? Because the world is just getting darker and darker in certain areas. And we just happen to be in a spot right now where our area is getting darker and darker. And things go through phases. Be the light. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following, says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know how many opportunities you're going to have in the next few years if things continue as they do, as they are. There's going to be opportunities for the Christian teacher. There's going to be opportunities for the Christian police officer. There's going to be opportunities for the Christian construction worker. There's going to be opportunities for any Christian within any walk of life is going to have opportunities, more opportunities than we've had in the past because of the stark contrast that we see. They stuck out like a sore thumb. You think that anybody in Babylon did not know what these men's beliefs were? It seems like they kind of already know it. It's like they're almost waiting on it. They were waiting on Daniel. They knew Daniel prayed. They knew Daniel prayed every day, and they made a law because they knew Daniel prayed. You don't think that those guys, as they were bowing down, were just looking over, just waiting for those guys not to bow down? They were waiting. Is the world waiting on us to stand up? You know, we're not of ourselves. You know, we're really of God. We think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, you think of verse 20. It says, for you were brought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Are you glorifying God? God is our master. Do we do what he says? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Are we denying God by our works, by our actions? These men would not. When the opportunity came, these men, I believe, stood firmly, stood straight, and stood unmovable before the government at hand. These men were different. And some of that was connected to their courage. You know, we need some of that courage right now. We need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to need them. You don't think we need them? We need them. We need men and women of courage that will do that which is right despite the consequences, despite the social pressure, despite what the world says. We have to stand firm. And what a great example these individuals are setting. And not only do we see that they're different, let's continue on. I suggest that we see that they are determined. They are determined. Let's look at verses 13 through 18. 13 through 18. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, he's just heard the report about these men not bowing down. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psalm tree, and the symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? These men are determined. They have set it in their mind to be faithful to the Lord. We see their courage. They don't care what the consequences are. They are going to do that which is right. We see the dedication of these men. We see that they are focused. We see that they're fearless even in the face of fire. Or faithful in the face of fire. When was the last time your courage was tested? I guarantee you, if your courage has been tested recently, you can recall it like that. Because the only time there's courage is where there's fear. And although I admire these men, I like to think that perhaps they just had a little bit of antsiness. Now, you don't see that. You know, a lot of people sometimes when they look at public speakers, you know, they'll look at me and they're like, oh, Kyle's not nervous. He seems not nervous at all. Well, you can't see inside you. Heart's beating a little fast. Not thinking 100% clear, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of it. You're like, well, Kyle, you look calm, you know, you look collected. Hey, it's a mess in here. And you know what, I think perhaps it was a little bit of a mess for these men, but outside, they are giving a fantastic presentation of strength, of faith, of they are determined to go through with that which they need to go through. When was the last time your faith was tested? When was the last time your faith was tested for the Lord? To do that which is right in spite of the fears and anxieties that we have. They're now before the ruler of the nation. What's interesting is he starts a conversation, a dialogue. He says, is it true? He promoted these men. It's almost like he doesn't want it to be true. Because these men are over some of the providences. And they've actually used this as an accusation to get Nebuchadnezzar. They're like, look at these guys. You promoted them, and they're being openly disobedient to you. They're kind of, you know, going in that realm. So he says, is it true? And it seems like he calms down at this point and starts having this conversation. And what does he do? He gives them a second chance. He says, all four Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you must have just been fooled. You know, your God can't save you, which he actually brings that up. Your God can't save you. What are you doing? You're throwing your life away. You know what? There might be a time where Christians are going to feel like they're throwing their life away for the cause of Christ. Well, you can't work here if you're going to hold that belief. You're not going to be able to do this if you do this. And your faith will be challenged in some way. Perhaps it's society. Perhaps it's in a courtroom someday. I don't know. Do we find the apostles? Do we find the disciples of Christ ever in a courtroom type situation? Yes, we do. Your faith will be challenged. Your faith will be tested. Your courage will be tested. King Nebuchadnezzar says, is it true? And I'll give you a second chance, but if you don't do it this second chance, you will be punished. I'm so thankful for the religious freedom that we have in this country, but I think if we don't look at each other from time to time and say things are changing a little bit, I think we're fooling ourselves. If we go back so many years, wasn't the Bible, wasn't it used to be in school? No, it's almost locked out of school. Wasn't there a time where prayer was at school and sporting events? It's almost like they've locked that out now. The tides are changing. Your faith might be tested sooner than you would like it to be tested. Sometimes things happen unexpectedly. You know, you look at Russia and Ukraine. I mean, a lot of people saw that coming in many ways, but a lot of people's lives were changed like that. A lot of things can change quicker than we would care to admit. When will your faith be tested next? When will your courage be tested next? I don't know, but we need to be prepared and take on some of the mentalities of these men. We see that they're different, and they're okay with being different. Not only are they okay with being different, we see that they are determined, even as they stand before King Nebuchadnezzar. Try to put yourself in that situation. What would you do? What would your decision be? Would you listen to the talking? Isn't that what he does almost in the last verse there that we read in verse 14? Verse 15 there, I think. He says, "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Isn't that almost a talking question? Who's going to deliver you? Who's really going to save you? You really think that your God is going to save you? That's almost taunting. And you know what? There's some people in our government, some people in high places that couldn't care less about the Bible, couldn't care less about Christians, and they would almost say the exact same thing to us. Really? You think that your God's going to save you? You really think that's going to work out? You have to have faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. What would you do in such a situation? Certainly we understand that courage is needed. We understand that we need that throughout our life if we're going to be faithful to God. But your faith might be tested sooner than you might like it to be tested. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "All who desire to live righteously in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Did the early church suffer persecution? Yes, it did. Is it possible here in the United States where we have so many beautiful, wonderful freedoms? Yes, it is. Certainly, we receive verbal attacks. In many ways, we're attack enemy number one many times. Christians are the easy people to pick on. That's my personal view, not trying to throw my opinion on you, but it seems like almost every time I watch something, it seems like Christians are kind of taking the hit. Oh, it's because of the Christians. Doesn't sound too different than other times in history. Oh, it's those Christians that are causing those problems. You know, it's the Christians. It's their beliefs. They're not very accepting. You know, it's those Christians. They're the problem. We're at least receiving the verbal attack. You know what? I know people that are very openly in our country right now hate Christianity. I admire the courage of these men. And I certainly pray and I try to prepare my mind for a day where my faith will be tested in a similar way. Are you trying to prepare for this day? Or you think this day will never come where your faith might be tested by fire? I'm not saying a little fire. I'm talking about some type of adversity, some type of challenge. And I don't know what form it will take and when it will come, but it's something to definitely think about from time to time. These men have drawn a line. And we have to understand in Christianity, which this is perhaps a mistake that we have made in times past, because you think you can negotiate with evil. You can't negotiate with evil. There is a time in a Christian's life where there is no retreat. There is no withdrawal. We have to be stubborn and say, this is where we stand. And we will not be moved off this point. It's amazing when you look back on it. Because you see all these political decisions that are made up on high and all these individuals making these decisions. They say, well, this is what we want. You give us this, we'll be done. You know, we'll pack up shop, we'll be done. Well, they are for about a year. Then they come back and they say, you know what? Last year we asked for this amount, now we want a little bit more. Now we want a little bit more. They do this with moral issues, they do it with any type of issues, economic issues. They say, why don't you just give us a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. That's how change happens. It happens a little bit at a time, but eventually the Christian, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under the Old Testament, they have to say, we can't go any further. We cannot retreat. We cannot withdraw. We have to be stubborn this day and stand by what we believe. Your faith might be tested sooner than you might like. Will you bow? That's what our society is trying to tell us to do every day. Bow. Bow to this social idea. Bow to this cultural idea. Bow to this idea. Bow to this idea. They just come back each and every day and just say, bow, 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 bow. And you know what? If you don't bow, you know what we're going to start doing? We're going to start talking bad about you to the government and the authorities. Isn't that what they did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh, you're not going to bow down. I'm going to go to the government. They go to the government and say, hey, look what these people are doing. This is why it's so important that a Christian obeys the law of the land, so that when the government comes after us, they can just say, you know what I got against Kyle? You know what? He doesn't break this law. He doesn't break this law. You know, the only problem I have with Kyle is his faith. And that was so powerful for the apostles underneath the New Testament. Because when those men went to trial, they couldn't say, look at this deviant. He's killing people. He's doing all these bad things. He's stealing. He's conniving. He's lying. They couldn't say any of that. All they could say is, we don't like their faith and we don't like what they're saying. So powerful that we keep a good reputation. That we obey the laws of the land as far as we can until our faith is put into challenge. And that is where we will separate. And that is where we must separate. You know, the Bible tells us to not fear those that destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy the soul. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. But these guys would not bend, they would not bow, they would not retreat, they would not withdraw from that which they knew to be true. And we cannot become friendly with the world. You think about James chapter 4 and verse 4. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You who make yourself a friend of the world, make yourself an enemy of God. You're either for God or against God, and we have to pick what side we're going to be on. You know, the beautiful thing about this story is in our next section, is we see individuals that are different, we see individuals that are determined, and we see individuals that are going to be delivered by God. Verse 19 to 25, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Now he's really mad, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it usually was heated, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We see that these individuals are delivered. We understand as Christians that we will be delivered. If not in this life, then the next. Death is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian. Physical death. Torture is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is to fall away. That's the worst thing that can happen to a Christian. The worst thing is not death. The worst thing is not being beat. And if you need some examples for that, just read Acts a few more times, and you see the men that lived there and what they were willing to endure for the cause of Christ, determined to follow Christ till the very end. But what I notice is we see such powerful, once again, faith from these individuals, is that we see the furnace is heated, that they're thrown in, we see that the soldiers that throw them in die along the way, but do we understand that God will be with us through whatever fire we face throughout life? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things that you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us. God is with us even in the worst moments of our life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? God will go through the fire with us. And isn't that but a beautiful picture we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He is in the fire with them, and he is going to deliver them from this fire. They're going to walk out, as we see in the coming verses. But God will see us through the trial. You know, I think of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he says that his first defense, nobody stood with him. But he says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord will stand with us through whatever fire and trial we go through in this life. Whatever pressure you face to compromise, whatever fire or persecution comes, we can stand with the Lord. And you know what? As we see the story unfold, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he's amazed. They come out. But I want to think about that moment just for a minute as we kind of come to a close. Nebuchadnezzar was amazed certainly because of the miracle, but in the back of my mind, I also think a piece of it is he was amazed by their faith. I think perhaps, although I don't wish it, we're going to have more opportunities than we would care to want to amaze some people of the world. Amaze people of the world how? By our faith. To say, we will stand firm. We will not be moved. We will not retreat. We will not withdraw. We will stand right here on those things that we believe to be right and true. Stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and amaze the world. Isn't that what the apostles did? They amazed the world. We're beating these guys, and they're still preaching the gospel. We're killing some of them, and they're still preaching the gospel. Will we still do that which is good and right when we're tested by fire? Perhaps when the hour of fire comes, the season of fire comes, we will be ready, and we will amaze those that are around us. What will we do to prepare ourselves for such a fire? Build up your faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, reading it, applying it. Seeing these situations, that God will deliver us out of any situation. Perhaps you have conformed to the world in some way. Perhaps you have compromised your faith in some way. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church this evening. We'd love to help you. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. We'd love to help you in any way that we can this evening. If you come, as we stand, as we sing.